is Nightline. Tonight, inside the horror of Astroworld.
Help! Help!
One man who fought to save others.
It makes me want to make sure this never happens ever again.
Families of victims demanding accountability.
He's a small, innocent child. He didn't deserve that.
And what we now know about the operations plan for the concert. What was missing? Plus, climate desperation. Deep in Central America's dry corridor, families facing a stark choice, starve or leave. We journeyed to remote Guatemala.
Extreme weather conditions, severe drought, or too much rain at the wrong time is destroying crops, and along with it, families' hopes and dreams.
Why climate extremes are forcing unprecedented numbers of people to head north. And happy news on Malala, the teenager who the Taliban tried to kill, her bright future ahead. Thanks for joining us. Tonight, we take you to a place where few Americans venture, a place where climate change is leaving so many with stark choices, migrate or perish. Nowhere is that choice more dramatic than rural Guatemala, where families who've lived off the land for generations are now starving, their children unable to get what they need to grow and thrive. We recently traveled there as part of ABC's Climate Crisis, Saving Tomorrow. She's nearly four, but little Anna Ali looks half her age. Chronically malnourished, at just 19 pounds, she should weigh twice that.
So she's below the average by far. This line is normal. She's way down
here. Anna Ali's mother, Jacinta, and all these moms bring their dangerously underweight children here every 2 months to this pop-up clinic in Hocatan in Guatemala, a region hardest hit by climate change.
These bags are full of rice and oatmeal, cooking oil, black beans, all staples for the families who've come. And over here, they're waiting patiently. You can see the women are dressed in their very colorful chorti outfits. It's one of the indigenous tribes in Guatemala.
Jacinta's eldest, 12-year-old Milton, helping to shoulder the load.
So heavy.
Getting these heavy sacks home is crucial, because Jacinta has five more kids waiting hungrily. These bags are all that stands between them and starvation. They clamor on board a crowded pickup, mostly standing for the long, winding trek back to their rural home. Welcome to the dry corridor, once the fertile cradle of Mayan civilization, now a swath of drought-battered Central America, from Guatemala and Honduras all the way to Costa Rica. Guatemalans are especially vulnerable because half live in poverty. Now a quarter face malnutrition. Jacinta grinds corn for tortillas, just as they have for millennia here. She never went to school and speaks only her native chorti, an indigenous Mayan language. And there are now days when her children go without. That brown liquid in Anna Ali's bottle, coffee. Mothers here, like Jacinta, know caffeine can curb hunger pains. It's that desperation that's driving a 500% spike in migration throughout Central America, many heading to the U.S. A third of migrants say extreme weather forced them to leave. So we journey to these remote Guatemalan villages, over hours of rugged terrain, to see what's driving unprecedented numbers of people away.
This dead corn represents calamity, literally starving families, because the farmers who live in these Guatemalan hillside villages are already so poor. And yet the extreme weather conditions, severe drought, or too much rain at the wrong time is destroying crops, and along with it, families' hopes and dreams.
It's been seven straight years of failed crops and decades of dwindling yields due to El Nino fluctuations. Mother Nature has turned cruel, leaving people with stark choices, starve or migrate. Santos's family is looking for an escape plan. The 16-year-old shows us his home, the walls and ceiling made of palm fronds.
So this is the house you all sleep in?
Si.
Si. So your mom cooks here?
Si.
Si. And then you sleep over there?
Si.
No toilets, no running water.
This is the family farmland.
And after months of backbreaking work in the cornfields for Santos's dad, Toribio,
lots of failed corn.
A harvest of misery. Santos is just one of the 2.2 million people in the dry corridor in desperate need of humanitarian assistance. Santos's parents took their life savings and borrowed even more to give their oldest son a shot at surviving the deadly gauntlet through smugglers and drug cartels to the land of opportunity, the United States.
Do you remember the day that your son left?
Sí, como cuando se fue el 23 de julio.
What was going through your heart?
Pues yo, cuando mi hijo se fue, por Dios, sentí así como algo rebajado, porque no sé qué mi hijo, porque sé que no es fácil para que él va a andar así ese camino.
Santos left the village armed with a first grade education, in his pocket, $300, and a tattered list of phone numbers.
Were you scared? A little bit? Un poco?
No. Así me fui con mi, como así orando a Dios que no me va a pasar nada en el camino, pues.
Santos says he slept in warehouses, eating crackers, and made it almost to Mexico City when he was caught by Mexican authorities.
What did they do to you once they caught you?
Solo me tuvieron y me llevaron en una alberca así para lo necesitar uno como unos 10 días. Hice como 10 días, a los 10 días me sacaron, me mandaron aquí para Chelas, vaya para Chelas.
But there's precious little to go back to.
So this is completely dried out.
Circe Cordon is fighting to change that. The agricultural engineer is working to develop drought-resistant strains of corn. Here in Zacapa, it's rainy season. It should be raining just about every day.
This is unusable.
But it's been dry for more than 3 weeks.
Normally it's twice as this. Yeah, yes. Two or three, yeah. This is so stunted. So they didn't even bother to harvest these.
Nearby, on a windswept hilltop, Circe points out black bean plants, a vital source of protein. When these crops fail, famine follows. She fears that this whole region could be uninhabitable in just 20 years.
Algunas áreas considero que se van a declarar como desérticas y otras áreas se van a declarar insostenibles.
When you see this, what goes through your mind?
Pienso que debemos de buscar y seguir en la lucha para que nuestros agricultores adopten condiciones y prácticas agrícolas mucho más amigables con el ambiente, que retomemos lo que ancestralmente se hacía, manejar los suelos de manera adecuada.
Already, a million Guatemalan children suffer from stunting, which means they're shorter here than anywhere else in the Western Hemisphere. According to the World Bank, that means 40% less brain development by age 3.
This is also a human toll that this takes.
Absoluta tristeza y causa un poquito de impotencia ver muchas veces a nuestra gente, muchas veces a nuestros niños que mueren de hambre, y da tristeza ver que tengan que migrar.
In Santos's rural town, roughly 10% of his neighbors have migrated, either to larger cities or all the way to the U.S., just about one able-bodied person per family. Santos's uncle washes dishes at a restaurant in New York. He's been sending money home for a few years, enough to feed his family and build a better life.
Como dice, va que él está trabajando para bien para los hijos, va que están aquí en Guatemala, va y como él me dejó con tres niñas y lo que él empezó a pensar en primer lugar de levantar una casa, va.
Just a stone's throw away from Santos's humble home, his uncle has built a 4-bedroom cinder block construction project.
Wow, this is impressive. This is quite different than Santos's house. Amazing. Bonita.
Sí.
Sí. Grande.
Sí.
Around here, they call it a castle because it evokes the grandeur and riches sent home by loved ones toiling in America.
Cuatro.
Four bedrooms. Amazing. And so when will it be finished?
Ah, pues como ahorita él está reuniendo un poquito de dinero.
hasta cuando él tenga algo, entonces empieza a mandar para comprar lo que es cemento.
It's the envy of all who live in this indigenous community and inspires those who see it to dream of America, which is why 16-year-old Santos is willing to risk his life yet again, as soon as possible. His family's survival depends on it.
What's the hope? What's the dream?
Pues yo, mi sueño es sacar a mi hijo, trabajar y mandar dinero aquí en mi país, sacar a mi familia adelante, hacer una casa, una casita así, comprar todo material que hace falta para levantar una casa. Y es lo que es mi sueño, yo salir adelante.
Do you think you'll try to go to the U.S. again?
Sí, voy a volver a intentar la segunda vez.
Why risk so much to try again?
Ah, porque como le dije que por la pobreza como estamos ahorita aquí, estamos sufriendo casi.
You don't see a future here?
No, aquí es casi que veo futuro. No.
And up next, the horror in Houston. Concertgoers recounting their struggles to survive and what we're now learning about Astroworld's operations plan.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
More witnesses coming forward to describe the deadly chaos at the Travis Scott concert, a situation that many say should have been stopped much sooner than it was. ABC's Marcus Moore is in Houston.
Stop the show! Stop the show!
They are the alarming and frightening cries of desperation.
Turn the lights on, turn the lights on.
These videos posted on social media are giving us a first-hand look at what happened at the Astroworld Music Festival Friday night.
Hey, water! Anyone got some water?
Oh. Fans caught in a crushing, tangled pile of people as the concert raged on around them. One person is seen dialing 911. At least eight people were killed, all of them younger than 30. Dozens more seriously hurt. 9-year-old Ezra Blunt, who attended the Astroworld concert, is fighting for his life.
I just want there to be some accountability.
His grandfather talked to ABC affiliate KTRK.
For my grandson to end up the way he did, something terrible happened. You know, he's a small, innocent child. He didn't deserve that.
People were begging for help. They were overwhelmed. The security, there wasn't enough security to grab everyone. Like, everyone needed help.
Stephanie Sandoval was also at the concert last Friday. She says what happened still haunts her.
I had people's bodies compressing against my chest where my chest, I wasn't even able to have the luxury to even take a deep breath. I thought I could hang for the first song, but I was officially at that point asking VIP or whoever was in VIP, like, hey, can you please, like, get me out of here? Like, I need to get out.
I've dealt with many crises since I've been mayor. This is the only one where it's been difficult to sleep at night. And in large part, it's because we're dealing with kids.
Houston's Mayor Sylvester Turner told me that the families of the victims deserve to know what happened.
What progress has been made, to your knowledge, in terms of having a better understanding of what went wrong here?
This investigation is going to take weeks, if not months. But I think it is important to just look at every single thing, looking at the security operation plan, looking at where people were positioned, looking at who had the responsibility of monitoring the crowds.
Live Nation, the organizer of the event, has said that it will continue to support and assist local authorities in their investigation. Documents obtained by ABC News showing the festival's operations plan did not specifically account for a crowd surge, and that only the executive producer and festival director had the authority to stop the show. But today, Houston's fire chief said Scott should have called an end to the concert once he saw what was taking place in front of the stage. It wasn't clear if Scott was aware or informed of the severity of the situation.
I want to see some rages, man. Who want to rage, man?
In this video of the concert, around 9:30 p.m., a bar of music starts playing and then stops. The camera pans and then you can see movement in the crowd. People appear to be making space.
It's an ambulance in the crowd. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
At this point, you can see Travis Scott looking out into the scene.
Two hands to the sky.
The music restarts soon after.
Key component in this, again, is the fact that Mr. Scott was able to finish his set.
Attorney Rick Ramos is representing some of the concert goers.
Mr. Scott took the approach, in my opinion, that the show must go on, but the show must go on doesn't mean people got to die at your show.
Sources tell ABC News that Travis Scott will provide full refunds for all attendees who bought tickets to the Astroworld show, and he will not perform at this weekend's Day in Vegas festival. Scott has also pledged to cover funeral costs and help provide therapy sessions for those affected. Scott is one of the highest paid rappers in the music industry. His hits like Sicko Mode breaking chart records. The singer, known for his high energy and often chaotic concerts, featured in this 2019 Netflix documentary, Look Mom, I Can Fly, where a member of his entourage explains how crowded the shows can get.
You will see a lot of crowd surfers in general, but also you see a lot of kids that are just trying to get out and get to safety because they can't breathe.
The 30-year-old feeding off the energy of his fans, who he encourages to, quote, rage in this GQ video on how to rage with Travis Scott.
Ready to go, whether it's your drugs, whether it's your water, or whether it's your orange juice or your alcohol, whatever you want to do, man.
Many of his followers are kids and teens, like 18-year-old Aiden Cruz. He and his friends couldn't wait to attend Friday night's concert. Little did they know it would be a traumatic night.
There's a girl behind us screaming, like, frantically. She's losing her mind, and I try to hold it down, and then instantly I just feel like this is not gonna be good. We have to get out of here, and I start to push back, and as soon as it feels like a brick wall, I start screaming help.
Aiden can be seen here climbing a camera platform, desperately pleading with the concert crew to stop the show.
There's a lot of people saying, well, if Travis Scott, you know, ended the show, they would have raged onto the stage, or it would have been even more chaos. But I'd like to say that I don't think that's true.
Now, Aiden hopes some good will come out of so much pain.
It makes me want to make sure this never happens ever again. I just want them to practice these scenarios before hosting a big festival.
Our thanks to Marcus.
And finally tonight, Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai. Once the world's most famous teenager, now is a married woman. The Pakistani woman's rights activist who famously survived a Taliban assassination attempt has tied the knot with Acer Malik, a general manager for the Pakistan Cricket Board. The pair holding a small ceremony at their home in Birmingham, England. Congratulations to the happy couple. That's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.